All right. What's up, you Alberta? My name is Elliot Tanti, and I am the host of What's Up, You Alberta, here on CJSR 88.5 FM in Edmonton. This is your podcast and radio show completely devoted to the University of Alberta, its students, its staff, its events, and its impact on the greater community. For those of you who may not know much about the show, what we try and do here is bring on personalities and individuals to talk about the University of Alberta and the different and interesting aspects of the organization. This week, we are starting a new segment. This segment is going to be completely devoted to former University of Alberta students, so students who have graduated or left university and have gone on to bigger and better things, but are still utilizing the skills and information and networks that they developed here at the University of Alberta in their future endeavors. Our first guest today, I'm very excited to have on the show. His name is Dongwoo Kim. He's a recent graduate from the University of Alberta. He's got a honors degree in political science and history here at the University of Alberta and has translated that into some interesting work, working as a student here in the University of Alberta, doing research and on policy. So he's going to be here talking about that, how he's transitioning from a student to a working lifestyle, the skills that he's acquired through that degree in his job, and where he thinks those skills will take him going forward. And Dongwoo's always got some interesting and sometimes controversial things to say, so I'm very much looking to talk to him about a multitude of different topics today. Before we get started, guys, I just wanted to give a little bit more information. If you want to contact the show, have questions, or you yourself are a student or a member of the university community and interested in being on the show, shoot us an email. We can be reached at wualberta.wordpress.com. There's a little comment section there that you can leave some information about yourself there. Or on the Gmail, the email Gmail, that's our website. Our email is whatsupualberta.gmail.com. whatsupualberta.gmail.com. Alrighty. Without further ado, let's get started. I'm here with recent graduate Dongwoo Kim, graduate of an honors degree in political science.
Political science and history.
In political science and history. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So you're the first member of what will be a new segment here on What's Up, You Alberta, talking about what graduates are doing with their degrees after their time at the University of Alberta. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about the job that you got straight out of the university?
Well, it's like still a student job. I'm working for the Students' Union as a researcher.
Okay.
I decided to take that position because I was really burnt out after by the end of my degree, and I just wanted to have a job that in which I can learn something and find it to be worthwhile, but not to be stressed out too much at the same time.
I see. Yeah. I see. So what exactly are you doing?
So I do research on university policy for the president and vice presidents of the Students' Union.
What kind of policy are you researching?
I'm not sure if I can tell you all of it, but okay. Then it's mostly like looking at certain university documents and coming up with summary briefs or doing a comparative study about this policy at the U of A with, like, say, McGill or University of Toronto.
So how have your skills as that you've acquired through the University of Alberta are helping you in this position?
Oh, well, like, this is a research position in which I have to write a lot, read a lot, and that's pretty much my 5 years of degree.
Of course.
So it's very, very relevant. And then I'm finding it that my, like, we joke about writing papers and not being that useful for society when we do arts degrees, but it's actually super useful, and it's unbelievable how you are capable of looking at so many sources and then coming up with a solid argument or a paragraph that makes sense.
And that someone's able to read and actually talk about.
Yeah, and then actually use it for a policy initiative.
So how rewarding is it when you see someone take the work that you've done and actually apply it into real life?
It's actually nice because I was always a little bit hesitant about using my essays or my written work for like a real life situation.
Mm-hmm.
It became a little bit better when I started publishing for The Wanderer or writing for an academic publication here at the
University. The Wanderer is the online student newspaper.
Yeah, I gained a little bit of confidence, and then it was gradual. So there was not a lot of shock about my writing actually being useful, but it's still nice to see that.
So, obviously, The Wanderer and these other opportunities where you were publishing, that also was bred from your time at the University of Alberta,
yeah.
Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk about how that worked out or how you got involved in those projects?
I knew a few friends from various extracurricular activities,
mm-hmm.
and we just started talking about, hey, it'll be cool to have a new student publication. And that was Emerson Chorba and St. Sydney Ruth. And Sydney Rutko, and then we ended up coming up with a publication.
That's right, and now the Wanderer has a new editor-in-chief. Our
yep.
guest from last show, mm-hmm. Blue Knox, has taken over that.
Yeah.
And looks like they're still looking for workers or going through the process of getting editors for that
mm-hmm.
as well. So that sounds like a lot of networking that you've developed through the University of Alberta.
Mm-hmm.
When you're looking... I wonder, Dong, there's a lot of people, and you kind of mentioned it when you were talking about your writing, that will say that an arts degree isn't really worth it,
uh-huh.
or there isn't a lot of application to the outside world.
Mm-hmm.
Aside from what you had mentioned earlier, why do you think that's not true, or why were you driven to get an arts degree?
When I started university, I actually wanted to get into finance. But then my parents were really supportive about me pursuing something that I'm actually passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up being a history and political science major.
Right.
And I think that was a blessing. And then I knew that I would excel or do better in arts than in business, because not because of any kind of differences in difficulty, but more so what I'm good at naturally.
Beyond writing and being able to formulate an argument, what other characteristics or skills do you get in an arts degree?
I actually want to expand a little bit upon that,
okay.
too. So I think we always talk about how it's useful, and it is definitely useful.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think we need to talk a little bit more about why it's good, like good for itself. So an arts degree actually made me a happier person, I think, because when you do an arts degree, you learn about so many things and like start to think more critically about everything around you. So nowadays, when I go watch a movie or go to the museum to see a piece of art, then you can get so much more out of it. And conversations that you have with your friends are so much more complex and interesting. So like beyond being useful, it made me a much happier person. If that makes sense?
No, totally, totally. Would you say that there's too much of a focus in post-secondary education, not just in universities, but colleges,
mm-hmm.
In diploma programs, about how does this get me a job? Do you think that's too much the conversation?
Oh, totally. Like, that's my favorite subject of rant.
Yeah.
I really think that we are at a stage in which there is reasonable social welfare. Like, obviously, we have people who are struggling and such, but at the same time, I think we can do so much more than fear-mongering about unemployment and job prospects. I think we really need to talk more about what makes people happier, and that's the object of politics in many of the political theory writings that I like.
Well, I think the current federal government, but a lot of people would say that money is an important part of their happiness or
uh-huh.
where how they define themselves as successful. What do you say to people with that perspective?
Well, I have to agree with them, but at the same time, like we are all in different situations, and certain people are capable of pursuing or seeing so much more than what they're expected to if given the right amount of support, just a little bit of push. So, the best answer that I heard about that was, why not? Like, because you can say, why do we need to support? But you could also say, why not? Because I think as much as the government emphasizes budget cuts and the difficulties in the economy, I think there is... there are resources that can be invested in more in people.
And the education. In education itself. Yeah. Well, it was certainly a topic that came up a year and a half ago now, mm-hmm. When we first saw the budget cuts to post-secondary education and a streamlining of post-secondary education in Alberta. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a product of a government that's more interested in job creation and growth than the whole well-being of an individual?
Definitely. It's focusing on numbers and what it looks on the paper, as opposed to like things that cannot be quantified, but things that still matter, if that makes sense.
Certainly.
Yeah, and also I do acknowledge that it's easier for me to say that as a university graduate.
Of course.
As somebody who has gone through this, and definitely there is the perspectives from people who have not gone to universities, like whether by choice or by situation, mm-hmm. like it's as valid. And so I think as university graduates, especially those graduating with an arts degree, I think we need to talk more about like the value of our education and how we can like be good people, good citizens, and show why our degrees matter.
How has your degree changed your perspective on the way that you see the world and made you a better person?
I'm a little bit hesitant in saying better because I wrote an article with a rather provocative title. But then I think I'm a better person than myself who without the university education, because it really allowed me to think more broadly and more critically about things. And then in a way, it made me a much more humble person, because you realize that, like, we all grow up as a, this is the generation Y, some people say, like, we are the
right.
self-driven, individualistic generation. And granted, like, growing up, I was not aware of my privileges or, like, my luck, so to say.
Right.
And then going through university education, you run into so many different people, and then you read and watch movies, listen to stories of so many other people, that really opens up your eyes and mind about what's really going on in the world, and like gives you the perspective, like you're just one of the people like out there, you're not that special.
Right.
Yeah.
And how lucky you are to be in the place that you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I keep thinking that I was really fortunate to be in this situation.
For sure, mm-hmm. for sure. We're going to take a quick music break,
yep.
and then come back and talk about some of your plans for the future and how your degree is going to affect that. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay.
Oh, right. That was A Tribe Called Red off their album, Nation to Nation. The song was called Sisters, featuring Northern Voice. I am here with Dongwoo Kim. Hi, Dongwoo.
Hello.
He's a recent University of Alberta graduate and the first of a new segment here on What's Up, U Alberta, that chronicles the life of University of Alberta students after their degrees. Thanks so much for being here and agreeing to talk to me, Dongwoo.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So before the break, we talked a little bit about the job that you had gotten right out of school and the value of your University of Alberta arts education. I wonder, what are your plans for the future? How do you plan? You said that this was a job that was a little bit slower for you and it was giving you an opportunity to divorce yourself from the student life and move into the more worker life. Are you looking at graduate studies?
Oh, yeah. I actually applied this year and I have been admitted to a few places.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. But there were issues with funding, and also I wasn't really sure about pursuing them.
Right.
So that's why I deferred admission in two of the institutions, and after this year, I will definitely be going back.
It's nice to have the option, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And these are pursuing the studies in political science and history?
Yep. So it'll be either really political history or history that's political.
I see.
Yeah.
When you completed your honors degree in political science and history this year, you had to write a thesis. What was the topic of that thesis?
It was on Korean nationalism, anti-Americanism, and some of cultural studies.
Was this something that was particularly personal to you?
Oh, it was very personal to me.
Why is that?
I was looking at this cultural term called Han, which is very peculiar to Koreans, and especially Koreans who go through difficult times, such as immigrants or people in the lower social status.
Okay.
And having...
And it's pronounced Han?
Han, so okay. H-A-N. And my family came to Canada as immigrants, and my parents had left their upper middle class living status, and then they started all over again in a new country. And I think I saw that Han firsthand, and then started to think about it more and more.
So, is Han something directed towards an American, or is it a general state of being in general?
Oh, it's a general state of being, and it's a mixture of sadness, a really passive state of sadness.
I see.
And acceptance of the fact that life will not be as great, but at the same time, there is a little glimmer of hope. So I spent about 20 pages trying to define the term in my thesis.
Of course, of course. How does that relate to anti-Americanism or Americanism in general?
My argument in my essay was that Han was the primary drive in Korean anti-American movement.
I see.
Yeah, so intergenerational sadness and frustration towards people who will always be superior to the Korean people, but at the same time having a vague hope that being the great people they are, Koreans will eventually prevail and be freed from the oppression of the United States.
So does this date back to the Korean War?
No, it goes way, way back. So it's shown in folk. This is an area that I was not able to research because it was out of my scope.
Okay.
But it goes way back to old children's tales and such.
So you'd mentioned that you're going to be continuing graduate studies likely after this year. Will this be something that you continue to focus on? Do you think your work will continue to have a Korean focus, or will you be moving in other directions?
I at this point in time, I think it'll move into a different direction.
Okay.
Actually, my something that I'm paying more attention to is social inequality. So Thomas Piketty, capital in the 21st century,
right?
And also multiculturalism, the racial politics. So those two things are have always been something that I was interested in, and I'm hoping to develop those two topics into a coherent, cohesive work on looking at multicultural policy and inequality in Canada and Western Europe.
I see. Yeah. I see. So these topics seem really relevant to yourself, having immigrated to Canada. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you continually find drives your work?
It's not necessarily. I don't want to say my work because I don't think I'm a professional academic or writer. But race and identity is something that I always always think about. Even when I go watch movies, I think about, oh, how are Asians represented in that movie and stuff like that.
I see. Well, there's a new movie coming out with Seth Rogen and and James Franco.
Yeah.
And it's actually got a Korean spin to it. Have you had any opportunity to think about that film or what that will mean?
Yes, I actually watched the trailer and then read the reaction from Kim Jong-un. Okay, so Kim Jong-un is probably the person that I like to make fun of all the time, politically. As a political science student, you always make political jokes. But at the same time, I was really uncomfortable because Kim Jong-un is a naturally wacky and irrational person on paper. Like, when you see him on TV or read about him, he's irrational. He doesn't make any sense to the Westerners.
Right.
But when you put it on in a Hollywood movie with two white people going to North Korea and being surrounded by equally wacky Asians, then it really sets that dichotomy between the rational West and irrational East.
I see.
Yeah.
And you're framing them, and you're calling it wacky, but I think there's a lot of people that would say it's much more racist, or it's got much more racial connotations than that.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you notice a lot in Western media, especially with depictions of Asian cultures?
Yeah, for sure. I'm not sure if you heard about Sui Park, but she was talking about she's the one who started this campaign called Not Your Asian Sidekick.
Oh, okay.
They're talking about how Asians always play a minority role in Hollywood or Hollywood movies and such.
I see.
When you as an Asian male, when you in this society, Asian ethnicity is feminized, but by default. So that's why there's this terminology, the yellow fever, more specifically for Asian females, in which Asian females are exoticized and then described as really sexed subjects.
Right.
And if you apply the same effect to Asian males, then it's males being more feminine, which makes them unwelcome and not accepted in the society.
I see.
They're not playing the role that they should be playing as a male, image-wise.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. And certainly there's some gendered aspects to that as well,
mm-hmm.
but it's something that you find is prevalent throughout Hollywood or westernized movies and depictions of Asian cultures, as you mentioned.
Yeah, it's getting better, but then, the mainstream media is never good with those kinds of stuff, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. Well, it'll be interesting to look at that movie from that perspective, and I'm sure there'll be more commentators coming out and talking about it and what that means. When you're analyzing culture, specifically Asian culture, or recognizing these Asian characters in movies, mm-hmm. How much of that has come from your time at the university studying and just broadening your mind on these kind of mm-hmm. topics? Was this something that you would have noticed, you know, when you were 15 or 16 watching movies, or maybe you noticed it but couldn't put it into words? Like, how has that impacted your perspective on these things?
Not being able to put it into words might be the best description for me mm-hmm. at age 15 and 16. As in, you would watch a movie or a TV show and see how the person who looks like you will always be pushed aside. It's not the protagonist, or it's the evil guy.
Right.
And you get upset about it, and then you think, why is that? But you don't really know how to articulate it. And then receiving university education, you, I think every poli sci student goes through a critical theory readings.
Right.
At some point, sometime in their degree. And that's when I was able to come up with arguments as to, yeah, this is racist because of this and that. And that's when I was truly able to articulate my feelings and come up with a coherent argument.
I see. And obviously that's translated into your work in other fields in that mm-hmm. you have a personal connection to a lot of the things that you're doing.
Yep.
Dongwu, thanks so much for being here and talking to us a little bit about your time now having done the degree. Congratulations on your degree, and good luck in the future.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much, Dongwu. I can't say enough for coming on to the show and talking a little bit about transitioning out of the student life and into the worker's life. I think he offered some really interesting perspectives on life as in that sort of flux, but also in some invaluable information and valuable conversation on some of the challenges of immigrant communities and some of the things that are still maybe not right with our entertainment industry. So I can't say enough about Dong Ru. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you so much. Just a couple more things I wanted to throw out there before we bid adieu from each other for another 2 weeks. In 2 weeks' time, Kaylee Thomas, former BFA student and musician, is going to be here talking about her record, her travels abroad, and transitioning from a University of Alberta student into the music industry. I'm very much looking forward to that. We've featured her music on the show here a couple times. So if you want to get a little bit of a taste of that, I definitely recommend you checking out our website. That's uwalberta.wordpress.com. That's uwalberta.wordpress.com. Thanks so much for being here, guys. Enjoy the beautiful weather outside. It's finally summer, and I'll see you in 2 weeks.